In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
You walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. In November of 2014, Vivian Workington's article titled The Real Inconvenient Truth was published online at the Berkeley Daily Planet. We discussed this article in a past show, and during the show we took calls from WBAI listeners, so we'll hear some of that, but also in the show the following week, Vivian was on as a guest briefly to talk about the article and respond to WBAI listener comments. We'll hear first from a New Hampshire resident who at the time of the interview had recently become aware of the geoengineering programs and began to make presentations at her local library. How can a veil be so strong to hide this reality from good, intelligent, caring humans on this planet? We explore some of the reasons that could contribute to a delayed awareness. It's critical to remind listeners that programs such as solar radiation management are being conducted in real time right now. You may have noticed the aircraft releasing aerosol in the skies over New York City in the past few days. That's a geoengineering program. These operations are done in secret and in plain sight. You could look at many aspects here, such as visual conditioning, lying by omission, sock puppet TV meteorologists who call the trails high cirrus clouds, normalizing the visual effects of the operations to children by embedding unnatural skies into animation films, and the list goes on. You may have seen the movie trailer for a film called Geostorm. The plot is described as, when catastrophic climate change endangers Earth's very survival, world governments unite and create the Dutch Boy program, a worldwide net of satellites surrounding the planet that are armed with geoengineering technologies designed to stave off the natural disasters. After successfully protecting the planet for 2 years, something goes wrong. Two brothers are tasked with solving the program's malfunction before a worldwide geostorm can engulf the planet. The corporate normalizing here is very disturbing to see, but this is our unresolved reality of weaponizing weather to create droughts, catastrophic disasters, allocate natural resources. This is all being fictionalized. After witnessing the massive spraying operations deployed as the Frankenstorm Jonas exited into the Atlantic Ocean, and thinking about those involved in this movie, Geostorm, who would take the narrative of a real-world situation of criminal acts, lies, deceit, treason, and portray it as fiction? This happened in a 2005 low-budget film called Toxic Skies. In a way, it's the same mindset of taking out your phone or camera and snapping pictures of yourself in front of a building on fire or during a tragic accident. In another example of normalizing weather control operations, you may have read the text on the smart water bottle. Here are the opening sentences. Is it just us, or do clouds get a bad rap? While we admit they're not as great to have around on a beach day as, say, the sun, clouds are unsung heroes because they contain nature's purest source of water. A couple layers of information here. One layer is, why are clouds getting a bad rap? What could that possibly mean? Could it be referring to the public outrage of the ongoing weather control and spraying the skies without long-term environmental and health impact studies? Yes, natural clouds are unsung heroes because they contain water, and that's one of the main resources being exploited by the weather control operations, which includes spraying the skies, creating unnatural clouds. I suspect this innocuous message is tailored to disarm a fence sitter, and possibly another example of the campaign to normalize the atrocity of weather control. Now, why would a bottled water corporation want to normalize weather control? We go now to hear part of that interview with Wanda Allen. She's from New Hampshire and has given a powerful presentation on geoengineering, its side effects, and she continues to fill in some of the missing pieces that listeners may not have heard about before, such as Monsanto buying WeatherCorp. Let's have a listen.
I think for me, too, the other thing, too, because when I first found out about this, I'm writing to all these environmental groups, and I'm like going, come on, you know, we got to do something about this. This is the real issue. This is horrible. And, you know, and then not hearing a word and not, you know, and then, of course, it just goes deeper and deeper. It's like the Alzheimer's Association not wanting to associate aluminum with it, but and yet we find out later that there is an aluminum company that is funding, you know, the Alzheimer's Association. So everything is this big matrix of pretending that they're for one thing and then finding out they're funded by the very people that are causing the action in the first place. So I never understood how environmental groups could not, first of all, because if you're really into the environment, how can you not look at the sky and notice that it's not the same sky that we have had years ago, and it's how horrifically it's changing. And even to be upset about, if you don't even believe that it's geoengineering, how about thousands and thousands of planes up there with leaded gas and, you know, all of that, but they seem to just go past that. And it is a very frustrating thing to not understand how environmental groups cannot be aware, and once made aware, not look into it. It's irresponsible.
Really good point there, and may not have been that difficult for you to find out about Bill Gates having 500 shares in Monsanto, and he promotes geoengineering. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, they're behind so many things, and they try to come off across as these, you know, incredibly giving and wonderful people, and he is one of the biggest advocates of geoengineering, and he talks about it all the time, and, you know, and funding, of course, David Keith, and I believe Ken Caldera is also supported by him, and also finding out that they are purchasing property out in California. So I think that's another big part of this whole weather modification thing that people, you know, maybe they can come to it from that level, but the derivatives that are made on the Chicago Mercantile, and now these insurances that are put out against, so they insure a crop for, say, $5 million, and the crop, or the crop is worth $5 million, but they insure it for $10
million. Okay.
So are they better off to pay these weather modification companies to make it lose their crop or not lose their crop? So there's like this whole, and Monsanto bought this WeatherCorp for just under $1 billion. They bought it, and it's a weather prediction company. And so they're making millions and billions of dollars off these failed crops or these hedge funds, and it's big business. And now when you look into these weather derivatives down in the Gulf Coast of Mexico.
Wanda, can I stop you there for a second? Now, regarding the crops, are these GMO crops that are failing and they would clean up on the insurance for that, or are these private farmers that would allow?
I think it's more the genetically modified crops. I think that people, I don't think there's a whole lot of organic farms that could even afford, you know, to be, you know, they're just trying to keep the GMO seeds out of their, you know, out of their fields and, you know, the pesticides, and they're dealing with all of that. But this is more like, you see it a lot in the heartland. But I wish I was more versed in this area on the hedge funds. And I just read a really good article on it. I wish I could pull up where I had found it. But it showed clearly, you know, who's allowed to purchase hundreds of thousands of shares in these weather derivative type things. And, you know, it's known now that they can steer hurricanes. They can you know, sort of whip up a storm right in the middle of nowhere, that they are able to do that. And I think that, you know, as sly and as evil as it sounds, I think these people that have this corporate greed and this need for more money, they're not going to stop at ruining somebody's crop or, you know, steering it off to somebody else. You know, if they steal clouds from one person, it's going to go somewhere else, and so nobody wins, or maybe somebody does, but it's not the good guy. And these crop insurances is big money, really big money. But what's happening also is that land out in California that's drying up, farmers are selling it, because what are they going to do? They're going under. They can't afford to keep up with that, and now all of a sudden the Gates Foundation, or, you know, they'll sneak it in somehow, but they're buying up land. It's a big land grab.
That was a past interview with Wanda Allen discussing her activism in building awareness in her community on geoengineering and weather control. I'm going to read through a very good commentary by Vivian Workington titled The Real Inconvenient Truth that was published by the Berkeley Daily Planet newspaper. And we're then going to open the station's phone lines for your comments and questions about this topic. The Real Inconvenient Truth by Vivian Workington. A person might be stoned for heresy in Berkeley if they were to question belief in global warming, but as a decades-long left-leaning KPFA listening and sponsoring, commuter bike riding, composting, plastic avoiding, bring-your-own-cloth grocery bag environmental activist, I'm seeing too much hypocrisy and closed-minded smugness and a lack of critical thinking on the part of those who I have always thought of as my people. I've come to the conclusion that those with liberal roots like me have been sent on a fool's errand, sucked into the unquestioning groupthink and religiosity by a well-funded corporatized environmental establishment that is scaring us into accepting top-down, pre-prescribed faux solutions that have never had public input and are designed to enrich bankers, diminish the rights of ordinary people, and funnel us into a controlled, technocratic society. We hear plenty of talk about lowering parts per million of carbon, while basic principles of environmentalism are violated, such as don't pollute, do no harm, local control, conservation, recycle, reuse, live simply, less technology, not more. The democratic left has been hijacked and infiltrated, our ideals and beliefs distorted and twisted into a disciplinary social agenda which demonizes rank-and-file humanity and deflects responsibility away from the real perpetrators of the destruction of our natural world. Al Gore, the man charged with popularizing the global warming theory, uses 20 times the energy of the average person in just one of his multi-million-dollar homes. Yet his, quote, carbon footprint is never put under a spotlight. Few remember how, as vice president, he used his, quote, earth in the balanced environmental cred to stump for passage of NAFTA and free trade policies, which started the environmental race to the bottom, in the wholesale giving away of local power over land and laws to multinational corporations. Now, Gore is investing with partners such as Goldman Sachs in carbon trading schemes, espousing the self-enriching solution to a problem he defines. It would seem subscribers to the theory of global warming never question the designation of CO2 as the root of our environmental problems and its convenient, consequent value as a global taxable trading currency founded on the commodification of nature and a newly invented, quote, right to pollute. This unverifiable system run by bankers will accelerate, not slow, the pillaging of the planet. It is my observation that all aspects of the left, alternative media, from the progressive weeklies to KPFA radio, are conducting the environmental wing of the global war on terror, never missing an opportunity to frighten and guilt trip us that we will cause, quote, game over for the planet if we don't vote for, quote, climate change legislation, aka carbon taxes and carbon trading, and support, quote, smart growth policies. We are schooled that only crazy right-wingers could possibly question the, quote, settled science and the, quote, settled remedies. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, is always cited as a trusted go-to body of expertise, even though their integrity was discredited with the, quote, climate gate scandal based on leaked emails in which head scientists at the IPCC, Michael Mann of Penn State, and Phil Jones of East Anglia University discussed doctoring the data on the, quote, hockey stick graph created by Michael Mann, and punishing scientists and scientific journals that print contradictory evidence to the theory of global warming. So many now are feeding at the trough of climate change disaster capitalism that a rational open debate is almost impossible. City councils throughout the land are curiously all subscribing to the same developer, banker-enriching, land-grabbing policies of, quote, smart growth. Unelected, unaccountable regional boards, made up of selected local officials, along with corporations and non-governmental organizations, are drawing up dictatorial regional plans for growth that supersede city governments, depriving citizens of the right to affect their own local land use policy. In the name of climate change remediation, we are told we must pack more people into smaller areas of land as our towns are being transformed into mega Manhattanized cities with tall, multi-unit apartment buildings that take our sunlight and ultimately our connection to the land and nature. Old buildings, neighborhoods, and communities are wastefully being torn down and made over to fit the vision of elite ideologue urban planners. In the upheaval, small, local, independent businesses are lost and replaced with national chains. This is not protection of nature, but a transfer of wealth, power, property ownership, and autonomy of cities, towns, and rural areas away from ordinary citizens. Today's, quote, environmentalists are working towards increased government and corporate control and surveillance over our lives through biohazardous technology, i.e. smart grid and smart meters, with no regard for thousands of independent scientific studies proving that digital microwave radiation damages biology. Instead of a call to decentralize, simplify, and conserve, citizens worldwide are being forced to apply, quote, smart meters to their homes, even as they are complaining of heart palpitations, extreme fatigue, mental confusion, sleeplessness, headaches, ear ringing, dizziness, and more. A technology is neither, quote, green nor, quote, sustainable if its byproduct harms humans, insects, plants, and animals. This unseen pollution from smart meters and smart grid infrastructure is increasing exponentially with no objections from official environmentalists. Unlike the old meters, smart meters use energy to power themselves 24/7. And I might interject and add, your energy is being used to power the smart meters 24/7. They are only advantageous to a centralized corporate model of energy control. Most shockingly, the left, who claim to have the corner on environmental stewardship, are the ones giving credence to geoengineering solar radiation management. That's the spraying of chemical nanoparticle pollution, such as aluminum oxide and sulfur dioxide via jet aircraft, into the atmosphere in order to block the sun, as a solution for global warming. On May 9, 2013, the Earth Island Institute sponsored a debate cavalierly dubbed, quote, Hack the Sky, at the Brouwer Center in Berkeley, California. The purported adversaries were Stanford geoengineer Ken Caldera and so-called ethicist Clive Hamilton, who belongs to the same geoengineering-promoting, Solar Radiation Management Governance Group with Caldera and other geoengineers. That very morning, two debaters made an appearance on liberal KALW's Your Call. A few months later, the apprentices on Progressive Radio's KPFA's Full Circle hosted the same performance duo. Why are environmental groups and left media putting on rigged debates, legitimizing and normalizing a preposterous technology which poisons and desecrates nature and can only cause irreparable harm, when they could be screaming warnings from the rafters that scientists are recklessly playing God with our world? These left media outlets are unconscionably frightening their following into accepting what amounts to nothing less than the corporate scientific intervention into our natural weather and climate systems. The environmental establishment chooses to ignore a whole area of inquiry relevant and crucial to the climate change equation, that of scientific, military, university, and governmental, NASA and NOAA experimentation with our atmosphere and weather, which has been going on for many decades. The book, Angels Don't Play This Harp, by Nick Begich and Jeannie Manning, documents the history of military experimentation with the Earth's atmosphere and chronicles the development, including 12 patents, of the high-frequency active auroral research project known as HARP, a field of giant antennas which can boil the upper atmosphere with a focused, steerable, billion-watt electromagnetic beam, sending electromagnetic waves back onto a target on Earth, causing changes in the jet stream and weather. The Department of Defense and their military contractors operate outside of all laws that protect the environment. Ironically, the climate change activists of today are listening to and trusting the very moneyed, powerful entities who have brought us to the brink of ecological collapse and forced us into fossil fuel dependency for diagnosis and treatment of our environmental calamities. I'm going to say that sentence again. Ironically, the climate change activists of today are listening to and trusting the very moneyed, powerful entities who have brought us to the brink of ecological collapse and forced us into fossil fuel dependency for diagnosis and treatment of our environmental calamities. The Rockefellers, one of the biggest funders and grant givers to the current environmental, quote, movement, have, throughout the decades, used their wealth and influence derived from big oil to remain in control of energy. They financed prohibition in the 1920s and 30s to keep farmers from making their own alcohol fuel and worked to criminalize hemp from which fuel was made. They killed the electric car and the municipal electric railways and influenced our government to suppress more than 5,000 energy technology patents, which have potential to end our energy crisis. The rhetoric we hear of creating economic and environmental equity among people and nations rings hollow when you realize that the environmental establishment is being bought and commandeered by the richest fat cats in the world who have the inordinate means to create equity overnight and to stop their destructive environmental practices, if that were their true purpose. Instead, they're financing and manufacturing a phony grassroots campaign to pin the blame for environmental devastation on the, quote, every man who is living in a world choreographed by the corporate financial elite. Their message is that the future of the planet is impossible unless we, the little people, submit to the measures outlined by them. They have frightened, panicked, and demoralized the very people who would be fighting them with every breath into being the enforcement arm for their vision of our future. Fear of climate change is being manipulated to get the left to aid in the stealing of citizens' rights and the corporatization of our local government land, business, nature, and weather. While the environmentalists are stuck on climate change, the nuclear accidents, toxic spills, pesticide contamination, deep-sea oil drilling, fracking, tree cutting, electromagnetic radiation, introduction into the ecosystem of new dangerous technological compounds and organisms such as GMOs, synthetic biology, nanoparticles, the geoengineering of our skies, destructive war and weapons, and much, much more continue unabated. Now, left-wing pundits such as the nation's Mark Hertzgard tell us to be impressed that the big-time financial fleecers and scammers, quote, Hank Paulson, hedge fund billionaire, Tom Steyer, and Michael Bloomberg, have come on board with climate change, as if they haven't always been. The war on climate change has gone publicly mainstream, as the likes of BP, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Dow Chemical bankrolled the People's Climate March in New York City in September 2014. No, it is way past time for the left to question where blind belief in billionaire banker-funded environmentalism is taking us. That was titled The Real Inconvenient Truth by Vivian Workington. Back we are to take your phone calls on this issue of the left being hijacked to become the enforcement arm for corporate environmental policy and, of course, the climate engineering. We're going to go to the first call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
All right. It's Antonio.
Good to hear from you, Antonio.
Wasn't there, again, because, you know, I the thing with the movies and everything that I constantly monitor and... There was a monster movie, I think, called Cloverleaf a few years ago, wasn't it?
Yes, there was. Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it invaded New York, and it knocked out the Time Warner Towers and Columbus Circle and Central Park and all of that.
Right, so, it was a monster, basically. You're saying there's a metaphor there, right?
Something like that, yeah. Uh-huh. And the monster, it wasn't really defined. It looked like... a praying mantis, but yet it looked metallic, and it was weird, and it had choppy hands. It didn't have anything like that, and it crawled on all fours.
Yeah, it was a composite of all these creatures, a chimera.
Right. And these words just keep circulating around, right? They just get recreated, and something like in this movie... It's amazing.
Are you saying that things like this continue to keep a smokescreen in front of environmentalists who really care about these issues, and it's effective in blocking people from really seeing what's going on?
Yeah, I think on a subconscious level, it's deflecting, maybe, or it's kind of like, oh, wouldn't it be a kick to like use this word? It's used here, you know, and either it's, you know, something like that, because I find it more than a coincidence that words that come up or situations that come up in chemtrails, right, and clover leaf and all of that, and then it all of a sudden it comes up in a movie, and it's like a weird name for a monster movie. I mean, you know, it's just
They should have named it chemtrails instead.
Right. It just doesn't fit. Like cloverleaf. I mean,
you know, Antonio, you know, the other issue here is the creepy lie that is sustained by the geoengineers like Ken Caldera, David Keith, that the climate engineering isn't happening now. It's only a proposal. Then they go on with the fake argument that, oh, we're not sure it's ethical, etc. Meanwhile, it's happening in real time. What do you think of that?
Well, it's also happening with the Bilderbergs, right? So now they say, oh, well, yeah, you know what? We are meeting. But it's just a meeting, you know.
It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing, Antonio.
Well, there's a campaign to, like, kind of come out about it, you know, things. It's kind of like, okay, so what's the big deal, right? So you're saying it's a proposal. So now it's like, okay, it's a proposal. So what about it?
It's interesting that people can't see through it, and it's sustained. The lie is sustained.
It is. And people got to make a choice, and they got to wake up. They have to vote in ways that, not in a ballot, but they have to pick ways of voting, not participating or not buying a certain thing or not buying into certain media things or things like that to show that they're aware of what's going on. It's a sin to use that phrase, to just not do anything, you know. So can you have somebody on one day who can also speak to how do we protect ourselves from the actual contamination that could happen to us and how to detox from it and all of that?
Sure. I mean, you know, we could do that.
Yeah, right. Just as a suggestion. I don't know. Because I'm concerned about that. I'd like to know exactly how to do that, you know.
Okay, Antonio, I thank you very much for...
All right, you have a wonderful whatever way you celebrate holiday, and carry on.
Thank you very much. You do the same.
Ciao.
We're going to go to another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
Jeff. I wanted to commend you for reading the...
Vivian's article?
Right. I don't actually know that author, but it certainly is a necessary broadening of the perspective on what ecological disaster looks like, and concentrating on what I would say are narrow and probably channeled concerns with carbon footprints.
What do you think about the left being used, being hijacked?
Well, I believe it. Well, I think just the facts speak for themselves with respect to, let's say, the People's Climate March in its, corporate and billionaire capitalist funding.
Vivian wrote, she says, their message is that the future of the planet is impossible unless we, the little people, submit to the measures outlined by them. They have frightened, panicked, and demoralized the very people who would be fighting them with every breath into being the enforcement arm for their vision of our future.
Right. Well, I think this the concentration on the narrow question of fossil fuels alone as causing what... a word that's used on your own station called, it's no longer climate change, but climate chaos, for instance. Mm-hmm. These are freighted words to create a feeling of panic.
Do you think, I always thought that the left had more discerning power to see through this ruse, to see through this smokescreen?
Well, this would be a long discussion. Of course, one can argue from the other side. Why not accept this funding? We'll co-opt their funding rather than be co-opted. But to get to the reality part of it,
mm-hmm.
The consequences of 100 or 150 years of industrial capitalism is not merely the changes to the weather. It is, as I think Virginia suggested, other issues of contamination of soils in various ways.
Yes, she went down the list, right?
The destruction of ecosystems,
yes.
So forth and so on. So that's what I'm getting at. It's important to broaden the question back to the question that was raised by Carson McCullers. Not Carson McCullers.
Rachel Carson?
Rachel Carson, right, exactly. Where the issue was the introduction of toxicities into the environment, that has to be part of a broad struggle to reclaim and redeem a planetary ecosystem.
You're right. Thank you for going back to that book, The Silent Spring.
Right, The Silent Spring.
Yes, I really appreciate it.
And I also want to commend you for the audio from a meeting of white people in a white suburb, or a county that is largely thought of as the product of white flight from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, that is Suffolk,
mm-hmm.
where there is this activism going on.
People came from all over, by the way. They came from Connecticut and upstate to be at that meeting.
Well, but nonetheless, to be in Suffolk, to hear this grassroots organization that's questioning what's happening.
Yeah, they wanted to ban geoengineering over that particular part of Long Island, over Suffolk County, and it was in the spirit of banning DDT, which
goes back to
Suffolk County was the first.
Which goes back to Silent Spring.
Suffolk County was the first to ban DDT.
And it became
a federal.
That is a very interesting 70-year connection, mm-hmm. is it not? But my point there too is that the left needs to broaden its perspective on what the revolutionary preconditions are, and who, what groups can participate in these revolutionary preconditions. It's not just urban ethnic minorities.
I'm curious about how many people on the left are aware of the real-time geoengineering operations that are being conducted to control the weather for
profit. I have no
profit.
Idea. I'm sure that it hasn't been covered on Democracy Now!
Profit and disaster capitalism.
But, Jeff, what I'm interested in is this energy for social change of various kinds. I mean, for instance, I believe that the left missed a terrific opportunity at the very beginning with the formation of the Tea Party. In the left rejecting the Tea Party, it got hijacked by conservative, mainstream-ish Republicans. And that's a pity, because the initial impulse, or one of them, was the question of the Federal Reserve and the bank bailout. And this, of course, is central to any kind of overarching program that the left should be speaking about.
Thank you, caller. We're going to go to another call. Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Yes. I'll be right there.
Okay. Take your time.
Definitely the left is off target with this in so many ways. When you hear them using the term global warming or climate change denier, be very, very wary. I also want to bring up the aspect of a connection with Monsanto and such, in that they have designed their Frankenstein-type plants and crops so that they can become, and they are, aluminum-resistant.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an important aspect of this. And the left does not seem to... there used to be an exchange in Chicago that had to be shut down, some sort of climate exchange.
They're still going at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange.
Really? And
yes, they're trading $10 trillion. That's Gore's involved, Al Gore, Goldman Sachs, Soros is involved. So $10 trillion a year is at stake with this.
That's incredible. I thought it had been shut down, so the left is not making the connection of who would be in charge of carbon credits and carbon trading. And
it's worse than that, actually, caller. It's worse than that. They're actually promoting the geoengineering narrative based on Vivian Workington's commentary here. She was pointing that out on the stations of KPFA. So that it's disheartening, is, you know, to say the least. But, yeah, the real information has to get out. So it's not that the Pacifica station, KPFA, is neutral, or the people doing those shows are neutral. They're actually sponsoring it.
Well, after the first, I'd like to share some information with you on this subject. So I'd like to get your, give me a minute to turn the radio back on as I hang up, and I'd like to get your email. And at the beginning of the year, I'd like to share that with you. And thank you for this program.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for the call. We're going to go to another phone call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good evening. I wanted to just take notice to the actual damage that the chemtrails have been doing to some of the city gardens. In some of the city gardens here, they just found high levels of lead in the vegetables and fruits in the city gardens here in New York City. Along with that, if you take a look at some of the local trees that have been there for years, some of them maybe 50 years, 100 years, the bark is shedding from the trees. They're almost like naked. And you can ride all in Brooklyn and all over the city. And then when we have a heavy storm or wind, a strong wind, the trees come out of the ground. The root comes up out of the ground and exposes the roots. And this is so unnatural. And it's really, really hard to take notice up in the sky when there's so many things going down in front of you, and you're trying to alert people to look up.
Yeah, it's very difficult to get people to do that.
They can't detach themselves from their iPods or their phone. They're walking, pressing buttons. They're walking across the street, pushing baby strollers and buttons and phones on their ear and their shoulder. So it's really, really hard to let people know that they're being rained down upon with chemicals. They think that you're an extremist and basically explain the lines in the sky as clouds. But I guess if you was born in 2000 and on, you don't know what a cloud looked like.
That's very strong points, caller. I really appreciate those comments. I want to mention that there's a biologist named Alan Buckman who talks about specific destruction by these nanoparticulates and metallic salts that are being used in these geoengineering operations and the desecration of agriculture and plants and trees.
I also think it has a lot to do with what's called Morgellons,
mm-hmm.
and more cases of Morgellons disease where these fibrous threads are under people's skin, because there are all kind of skin diseases that have never been heard of before. And everybody has allergies now. So I know that they know that it is affecting the food, the water, and the people. I don't know where they're going to go.
Wouldn't you like to see the movement that's mobilizing right now address this issue in the streets and force the mainstream to address it?
No, I think we should do like the other countries. Just go to the cabinet offices and snatch them. I don't think we need to march. If we go in there, we need to just go and get them. That's what we need to do. Go and get them.
Interesting. Caller, thank you so much for those comments. Appreciate that.
Okay.
We're going to go to another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
We're up in Westchester last week, and we see them all the time. But there was there must have been four planes. We can see from the Hudson all the way up to Putnam County, these chemtrails.
Mm-hmm.
And the last, this has been along there, big, huge trees. They're just like split in half, and they're rotten on the inside. Big, huge trees around here.
Mm-hmm. Somebody would say that it's because of the aluminum oxide and barium and other metals that are allegedly being sprayed from these aircraft for these operations are being pulled up into the tree and killing the tree from the inside.
If you come up here and you get off the Connick and you go through Yorktown and these places where there's a lot of big trees, you'll see it for yourself. And they don't clean this stuff up. The state doesn't clean it up. I mean, you see trees all over the place. People just got to look up in the air and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not clouds.
Right.
When you say something to somebody, hey, look, man, look at them chemtrails. They look at you like you're crazy.
Yes, and I wonder if that is related to, a broader mind control from that is being delivered, packaged by the media to isolate people who point up in the sky and question things.
Well, you know what? If you're talking about the media, I listen to BAI and I listen to a lot of stuff on the blog radio. I don't deal with the Times and all that. Unless there's some article that's really pin something. I need the people who have. We need the people who have your frame of mind. Some of your stuff might be way out, as people would say, but mm-hmm. a lot of it. I mean, it registers. So you have to deal with that. The people who are thinking later for all this other. I'm not worried about the car and our watches and all that stuff that you see in the New York Times. There's no survival thing in the New York Times.
Caller, well, I really appreciate these comments, and it's wonderful to have a listener such as yourself. Have a great holiday.
You too. Take care.
We're going to go to another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I'm glad that you're thinking outside the box, but I don't know exactly what you're saying, so I can't say I agree or disagree. But when it comes to climate change, I just got done with the book by Naomi Klein, This Changes Everything. It's an excellent book. I didn't get to read the whole thing, but you point out all these billionaires around the world who seem to be who publicly saying, "Well, oh, we're going to try. We're going to start going green. We're going to start doing this and that." They're full of baloney, is what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And the other point I want to make too about climate change is, you know, you notice these conservatives are really, you know, getting hot under the collar about this, and they should be, because climate change was caused by the conservative policies the past 150 years. The conservative policy of non-regulation of pollution.
Okay, caller, I appreciate that. You said you didn't understand what I was talking about, and I should just make it a little bit more clear, and that is that the left is being hijacked, being used as a an enforcement arm to support the environmental agenda here, and also that it's not being addressed as geoengineering operations are being conducted in real time, and that's the other issue.
This is great. Keep it up.
Thank you very much, caller.
And bring it to the UN. And I.
Yes, hello.
Go ahead, caller. Sorry about that. We cut somebody off. Go ahead,
yeah,
caller.
There's a film called Why in the World Are They Spraying? That explains a lot. So thank you for your show. The people that say that, you know, people think they're crazy when they talk about it, you're not alone, because people are noticing this. All you have to do is look up in the sky. And another thing is to be leery of people calling themselves environmentalists. Rockefeller Jr. calls himself an environmentalist. And up is now down, and black is now white, and everything's called green when it's not really green. So just wanted to pass those few ideas along.
Vivian, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate your allowing me to express my feelings and ideas.
In a previous show, I read your interesting article titled The Real Inconvenient Truth, and then I sent that show to you to listen because we kind of missed each other as far as being on at the same time to be a guest. So you got a chance to listen to the response from some of the callers. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, I was really disappointed that people did not address the specific things that I was saying, because I worked for almost 3 years on that. I had volumes of my feelings and my thoughts about what I was observing, and I feel like I distilled it down to two sides of a page. I think that even almost more than my initial absorbing of what I was seeing in the sky was just that people will not engage about what is really happening, and they'll just shine you on, and I mourn the loss of nature, but I also mourn that it doesn't faze people. I feel like a spell has been cast on the left wing, and up until 2008, I really believed that the climate change whole thing just really very strongly. And when I saw what was happening in the sky, I still didn't doubt it. But then somebody even mentioned that, oh, that's, you know, climate change, that's ridiculous, you know. And I honestly thought just even being in the room with somebody that said that was, oh, bad luck was going to come on me, or it was just an awful thing to say. But just observing the phoniness and the emptiness and the nonsensical things that they're doing to fight climate change, I'm totally convinced it's complete hokum at this point. But it's mainly because what I see, that how can people not see that? And sometimes I think it might be, you know, that kind of psychological blindness where you see something so hideous, you go blind, and that people have gone blind to that. But anytime I try to bring it up to people, like, you know, you're at a party and people are tinkling the glasses, and You want to point out that it started out sunny, and the sky became cloudy just because of the action of jets. And that doesn't alarm people. That is shocking to me. There's something deeply wrong. And then I had a friend who I thought, when I first saw this, I thought, well, all I need to do is just start telling people about it and showing people. And this guy who I was involved with a lot of environmental work, I called him and I said, you've got to look up right now, Jamie. He said to me, you know, if they were spraying something, it would be too obvious. And it's like people do not want to let it in. You can give evidence, you can win an argument, you could win a lawsuit, but people do not want to know this. And they'd rather be angry at you. My relatives, my family, I feel like I've lost them, you know. I mean, in a way, I've lost my relationship with them, people that I were my favorite people, you know. But they want to continue with this phony environmentalism. And it is so phony, like what the city of Berkeley is doing. I've been seeing the climate action plans and all this. Climate change is the ticket to ride for the corporatists to take over our cities, I think.
I like how you pointed out in your article, Welcome to the Real Matrix, and I agree with that. It is dividing people up in terms of who sees through this and the people who'd rather not, or actually and sincerely do not see through it. There's a willful ignorance aspect as well, and there are people involved politically and on the corporate level that pretend that it's not happening, but they know the details of the nonstop geoengineering that's right in our face. We experienced that here in New York City yesterday.
I just saw it today. I went on a bike ride, and it was just awful. And yesterday there was one of those really big clouds and a hole punch thing in there. And mm-hmm. It's such an amazing phenomenon that people won't look at it.
I suspect that some of the propaganda strategy that was conducted in the past number of years, when you begin to explain some of this material to professional left-leaning individuals, they'll dismiss it as right-wing conspiracy. And
now that is what has made me so suspicious of KPFA, where if you ever bring it up, you know, like they were interviewing this guy who took people on nature walks and stuff, and then I said, I called in, got, you know, one of the few opportunities, and I said, you know, I go out in nature, but there's something that really is bothering me, and I said something about the sky, and then the guy just got so mad. He says, oh, come on, those are just natural contrails. Oh, why do we even have to dignify this with a response, you know? And then it's like they've turned skepticism on its head, you know? We're the skeptics, and they're acting like they're the reasonable ones. Oh, why? You know, when the sky looks like an amazing horror.
Vivian, I want to offer a response, not that it really does any good for this, but it might do something. And this is from a response that Tom Slate out in California.
Yeah, I know him.
You do? Okay, you know what he says? He says, when somebody responds in that way, oh, come on, those are just contrails. Well, the response he gives, how do you know what those are? How do you know what those are? Please tell me, because I want to know how you know this.
Uh-huh.
Which is a great response. Please tell me how you know for sure that those are contrails.
It is, but has he ever gotten any good result? I mean, they do not want to take it in.
Well, it does sometimes cause the individual to reflect a bit on the response.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's like they can't answer that, really.
Mm-hmm. But on the air, it might make for good radio in the future.
The reason I was trying to target the climate activists, that how can they just go on and on and on about climate change and never address that? Even if it is natural contrails, it would affect the climate, and so that. But they're very carefully never talk about that. I mean, that is so suspicious. I feel angry at them. You know, I talked to Bill McKibben once. He came, and I made sure to go, and I handed out a bunch of geoengineering flyers before he went on. And I went, and you know, while he was doing his book signing, and I told him about that. I said, and it had been a very bad day, you know, for the geoengineering, and I pointed it out to him, and he just kind of shook my head. I'll think about that, you know, I'll look into that, with a limp handshake. And, you know, he is completely bought by the Rockefellers.
If listeners want to find your article, The Real Inconvenient Truth, and other articles, how do they do that?
Well, they could go to the Berkeley Daily Planet, because they archive those articles there.
Okay. The Berkeley Daily Planet. Vivian, who wrote the article titled The Real Inconvenient Truth, I want to thank you for being a guest on In Other News, and we'll have you back on again.
Thank you so much.
We now listen to the audio of some of these amazing public comments from the Suffolk County Health Committee meeting, April 30th, 2012.
Mount Shasta, previously known as pristine, about as pristine a region in the United States as we get. 61,000 parts per million aluminum in the soil in the last 5 years. 61,000. The government has said, the federal government has said that 1,000 parts per million is a toxic ceiling. That's 61 times. There's enough video clips and audio clips and media print on record at this time that I don't think there's an argument whether or not this is happening. We know it's happening. It's no longer trying to convince people that those go or don't go or stay or whatever they do. The question now is that every time officials are petitioned, from the federal government to the state level, there has been denial. I traveled from Hartford, Connecticut to come here because this is the first time that I've been able to address a group of officials that will listen.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.